This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for an evening of love poems from the Bard, a new exhibit that tells the story of levee failures post-Katrina, or a celebration of the piano. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The New Orleans Shakespeare Festival is rounding out its season with an original work that puts a unique light on the Bard's prose. Incarnate is a multidisciplinary show that blends Shakespeare's words with music, movement, and song to tell a universal story. Joining me now are Incarnate co-creators Chaney Tullis and Barbara Haley. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
This is an exciting concept. Tell me, how did the idea for Incarnate come about?
Really, we're just trying to find different ways to explore the relevancy of Shakespeare. I have a mentor who always said that Shakespeare wasn't ahead of his time. Shakespeare is ahead of our time. And so we said, okay, let's look at Shakespeare's text in a different context. And let's bring in different artists and give them the opportunity to work with us at the festival and see what happens. One of the first people we went to was Barbara Haley, one of the most respected choreographers and dance teachers in New Orleans, and she happens to be on the faculty at Tulane. And so I'd worked with her there, and we said, look, you know, we have this idea. We want to tell a story about love and passion using Shakespeare's words, but we want there to be a lot of movement and dance in the show based on who we have.
I did come into it later because there was a concept already working. And I thought, well, I can do that. I can work with that idea.
How do you give human form to poetry? Can you describe the experience for us?
We weren't sure at first what story we wanted to tell. It took a long time deciding, okay, well, how do we want to fuse all these different mediums together? And we said, okay, what about love? We said, you know, it's a universal theme and it's done a lot, but maybe we can do something really unique. We think we could tell a really compelling story about love because, of course, Shakespeare, the way he articulated love is unparalleled. And so I compiled about 20 pages of text, possible Shakespeare text that we could use, and just experimenting.
We also use the sonnets. Many people know but have not read as much as they've read the plays.
You brought a couple of clips with you from the show. Tell me about the sonnets that are being performed.
Because this show tells a story of someone who has loved and lost, the sonnets speak extremely well to that. It still gives me chills when I see Christine McMurdo Wallace, who is our leading lady. It's her story. She speaks most of the text. The one that she speaks talks about life experience. I believe it's that you were once unkind, befriends me now.
And for that sorrow which I then did feel, needs must I under my transgression bow, unless my nerves were brass or hammered steel. For if you were by my unkindness shaken as I by yours, you've passed a hell of time. And I, a tyrant, have no leisure taken to weigh how once I suffered in your crime. Oh, that our night of woe might have remembered my deepest sense, how hard true sorrow hits, and soon to you, as you to me then tendered, the humble salve which wounded bosoms fits, but that your trespass now becomes a fee. Mine ransoms yours, and yours must ransom me.
We all make mistakes, and of course we hope to learn from those, but the way Shakespeare articulates it is so profound, and it rings true to a relationship as well. You know, if you meet someone and you want to spend time with them, you know, down the road you realize, yes, this person is worth the heartache. The way he articulates it is really unparalleled.
That's beautiful.
You also have one that's sung by Keisha Slaughter, sonnet number 96.
Yes. This sonnet speaks about youth.
Some say that fault is youth, some wantonness. Some say that grace is youth and gentle scorn. Oh, grace and faults are love and more than
men. Our character is just consumed by life and youth, living life and enjoying it and making mistakes.
Her voice is like velvet, actually, and fierce at the same time.
We have live music, we have soundscapes, we have this wonderful kind of atmospheric, as well as the recorded beats from Kevin O'Donnell that fade in and out, mm-hmm. movement, and then, of course, the poetry of Shakespeare.
And acting.
It's a very detailed show. I think people look around the room and they'll see little details, a little insider information. Take a look at what the vocalist is reading whenever you enter.
And that's all you're going to say, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
So who are the actors?
Our actors are Ruby Lou Smith, Christine McMurdo Wallace, and Jake Wynn Wilson.
What was most challenging for you in this production?
It was finding movement that could be called dance, but it was also meaningful in intention.
We knew that the piece would be successful if we found the details. It's a really intimate space. There are only about 75 seats in the theater. You can see every little eye movement of the actors. And so it was really important to me that we have this beautiful movement, but that they're also telling a story with the way that they look at each other. And there had to be chemistry, which we didn't know until we got into it, if the two leads were going to have chemistry. And they do. It's electric.
Are the themes a little mature for some audiences?
Yes, because of the intimacy of the space. There are some very romantic scenes.
Sensual, in fact.
There's a very intimate scene between the two of them. And because you're at times 2 feet away from them, I think it's not only the images that you're seeing, but the energy and the people around you. You know, you're watching the other people in the audience, so it's very intimate.
If Shakespeare were here today, what would he think of this production?
Oh, that's a dangerous question.
Ooh.
I would think he would be flattered. Number one coming into this for me was to be truthful to Shakespeare and to honor his work. Shakespeare's already relevant, but I think he's so relevant that you can take his poetry and complement it like the other art forms and make something really beautiful out of it. And love, of course. I mean, so many people have explored what is that, but why are we so fascinated with love? Why? And then what happens when it's over? Whether the relationship run its course or one of the partners passes, you know? And of course it changes you fundamentally. And was it worth it? And of course it's a case-by-case basis, but we don't have the answers and we're not trying to make a statement. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, I want it to be a cathartic experience for people because we all have unique experiences, but it's love and companionship is something that connects us all.
We are weaving through abstraction, narrative, and reality in this piece so that people will see it through different lens in the audience. And it's okay that people go away with different points of view.
Incarnate co-creators, director Chaney Tullis and choreographer Barbara Haley. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Final performances of Incarnate are running tonight and tomorrow night in Tulane's Dixon Hall Annex. More info can be found at neworleansshakespeare.org. There's a new exhibit dedicated to the story of levee failures after Hurricane Katrina. It's at the site of the London Avenue breach. The project was designed by the nonprofit levees.org. WWNO's Eileen Fleming spoke with levees.org founder Sandy Rosenthal about the project at its recent grand opening.
So here we are at this, I'm going to call it a pavilion.
We like to call it an outdoor exhibit hall. These museum-quality panels tell the entire story of the flood, not just the London Avenue canal story. It tells all the stories about all the neighborhoods and all the lives.
Who do you expect to come out here?
Well, people arrive at Louis Armstrong Airport with a human desire to understand the flooding. They want to see it and feel it and touch it. And we feel that by building this exhibit at the site of a breach, we give them that opportunity. We feel like we're filling a void.
Tell me about the garden.
Oh, I'm so excited about the garden. It was designed in order to contain water and trap it and use it rather than just letting it all drain out into the street and into the drainage canal. So it's taking a lot of pressure off of the municipal drainage system. And they're also beautiful. Every one of these has some sort of flower or some sort of interesting feature to them, like the lizard's tail over there.
This is something that has developed since Katrina. It's the capturing and water gardens and such. Whose idea was it to combine that with this?
The original concept of combining an exhibit with a rain garden was done by the Lime Agency and for hot, humid, sustainable design.
And tell me about the funding for this again.
The money for this was raised by levies.org. We put up a website on rally.org and raised the money. And we've also been collecting money over the years for something just like this.
We're at 5000 Warrington Drive. What was here and what's here now?
That is the result of almost an accident. When we leased this lot from the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority, we weren't really sure what used to be here. We knew it was the site of the breach, but that's all we knew. And then going through archives of photographs taken directly after the flood, we were able to figure out that this is the lot where a home once stood, and the home was actually picked up, carried 100 feet, and deposited in the middle of the street way over there. So it's an enormously significant location in that not only is this the actual site of an actual breach, that we were able to preserve the history of what happened here through the photographs, and it's also represented right what you're standing on. If you look down, this is the footprint of the home that once stood here. And behind you are three yellow bricks that are part of the original home, that we found these during construction of the hardscaping.
How much land do you have here?
The lot is 60 feet by 160 feet.
Okay. I have to ask about this house here. I know this is not part of your project, but that is a pretty dramatic embodiment of what happened.
It's an amazing juxtaposition. As you can see, there's a hole in the roof, and it was probably chopped in the roof by someone trying to get away from rising floodwaters.
How are you going to market this?
Well, levies.org is pretty good at promoting, so we're going to be using all of our social media that we have, and we will be alerting tour companies about it, like Gray Line Tours, and hopefully 17th Street Canal. You wonder, well, where is it? I don't understand. All you have to do is look at this You Are Here map, and we have one of these maps on every single panel.
And this levy is the?
We are standing at the London Avenue Canal East Breach. This canal actually breached on both sides, which is a true testament to how weakly these canal walls were built. Most people aren't aware that there were more than 50 breaches of the hurricane flood protection system during Hurricane Katrina.
Want to take a walk and just highlight us here?
Oh, good. We got a breeze going now.
Right. Ah, thank you. Is there going to be shade over this thing?
Oh, yes. This is going to be covered with a very beautiful roof. Right now we have a little bit of lattice shading, which helps. We can use every bit of shade we can get.
Okay.
Here we're looking at the breaches of the Gulf Intracoastal Waterway. Not many people understand or know about eastern New Orleans and the flooding that they had. You can see this incredible photograph was donated by C.C. Lockwood, photographer, just for this exhibit. And you can also see a photograph of Six Flags. But we are paying a lot of attention to all the poor folks that were flooded in eastern New Orleans, and no one seems to know or understand anything about what happened to them. But this exhibit will change all that.
Whose idea was this?
As most good things, it was a partnership. I got a phone call about the existence of this lot for lease from a neighbor who lives here, and I would not have even known Ms. Gloria DeQuire Robert if it weren't for a relationship that had been built after the flood. And it was she who said, wouldn't it be nice if there was some exhibits at the breach site so people visiting could actually understand what happened? And I said, yes, it is a good idea, and here we are today.
And here we have Mr. Goh.
This explains the Mr. Goh, why it failed, and why all of St. Bernard flooded during Hurricane Katrina. You notice each one of these panels has a QR code.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants more information, all they have to do is hold their smartphone over the QR code, and that takes them directly to our website for the full 12,000-word story.
Somebody did an awful lot of work on this.
Well, this is the culmination of a year of work. I would say these exhibit panels that you're looking at are the embodiment of most of the time and effort. These really, without being exaggerating, these are really the culmination of 10 years of work. These exhibit panels were peer-reviewed by four different reviewers with the World Water Council, which is an international water agency. We made sure there were plenty of high-quality photographs to enhance these exhibits. What I envision is that people will come here, maybe look at an exhibit or two, leave, bring some people back, and then look at another exhibit or two.
That was Eileen Fleming speaking with Sandy Rosenthal, founder of levies.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. acclaimed classical pianist and past New Orleans International Piano Competition medalist Stanislav Krestenko and Peter Mack are in town for a special performance as MASNO, the Musical Arts Society of New Orleans, presents its 2015 New Orleans Piano Institute and Keyboard Festival. The event attracts students from around the world for an intensive week of study and solo competition. MASNO's Executive Director, Kara McCool, joins us now. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks, Diane. It's great to see you again.
You have 1 year in now as executive director of MASNO. Tell me, how has it been and what goes into planning this competition and festival?
Well, it's been a wonderful experience. It's really been a whirlwind, to tell you the truth. And so many things go into planning these events with all of these different wonderful artists. We have a renowned faculty that comes in each year for the New Orleans Piano Institute, where we invite students locally, regionally, and internationally to audition for a week of intense study and performances and competition opportunities. This year, we have 34 students who are coming in, and they will be participating in 10 master classes given by the faculty, as well as the guest artists, Peter Mack and Stanislav Krestenko.
Why does this event attract so many applicants from around the globe?
Well, they come in to study with this faculty that's really top-notch. It's a wonderful opportunity for them to not only develop their pianistic skills and gain lots of performance opportunity and stage presence skill, but it's a great way for them to connect and network with the faculty. This helps with their career advancement, like if they're thinking about studying music in college. They also make friends from around the world and network in those ways as well. So it really stimulates them musically and artistically, as well as helping them improve their technical skills as pianists.
So are these basically high school students?
There are a lot of high school students. They range in ages from 14, I think, is our youngest, and then they go all the way through college students. This year, there is a piano competition within the Institute that's only for the Institute students. So any of the Institute students who were selected for the Institute are able to perform in the competition. There are two levels of the competition. There's Division I, which is 16 years of age and younger. And then there's Division II, which is 17 years of age and older. And they will just be playing a series of solo works in two rounds for the first and second and third place prizes.
And what are the prizes?
Well, first place is $700, second place is $300, and third place is $100. And there's also a concerto competition that the students have the opportunity to enter, which is presented by the Steinway Society of New Orleans in collaboration with the New Orleans Piano Institute. And the winner of that competition receives a cash prize as well as an invitation to perform with the New Orleans Civic Symphony in the fall. So that's a pretty special opportunity for these young pianists to have an opportunity to play with orchestra.
Now you have two special guests this year. They are former medalists at the New Orleans International Piano Competition, which MASNO holds now every other year. Tell us more about them and what will they perform.
So we have Peter Mack, who was a gold medalist in 1990, I believe, and Stanislav Krestenko, who was a medalist in 2010. Peter Mack is this wonderful Irish pianist, and he really is just larger than life. He has this wonderful huge personality, and everyone just adores him, and we are so excited for him to be coming back. He's come to New Orleans several times to play concerts and to give master classes and presentations, and he is actually giving a master class, which is free and open to the public, on Friday, which is at 2:45, and then he is giving a special presentation that's sponsored by the New Orleans Music Teachers Association, and the title of this presentation tells you a lot about Peter. The title of it is Lower the Rear End of the Elephant Slowly Onto the Keys, Teaching Basic Artistic Concepts by Using Colorful Imagery. So I guarantee you it will be of utmost entertainment as well as very educational and inspiring. Peter's playing a really cool mix of some traditional pieces like the Chopin Fourth Ballade, as well as some Bach transcriptions. He's playing some Rimsky-Korsakov transcriptions. He's also playing some beautiful Scriabin. It's a really nice mix of traditional as well as works that aren't frequently played. Peter plays on Saturday night at 7:30.
What about Stanislav Kristenko?
Stanislav Kristenko is a beautiful Russian pianist. I remember his program very well in the 2010 competition when he performed. And since then, he's gone on to win some pretty major competitions, including first prize in the Cleveland competition in 2013, first prize in Maria Canals in 2013, and he was also a laureate in the 2013 Queen Elizabeth competition. He's released several CDs, and his program on Friday night is going to be so much fun. It's an all-American program called Music of the New World, with some Gottschalk, Barber, Philip Glass, and even the 18 song hits arranged by George Gershwin. So it should be a really easy listening and enjoyable program on Friday night.
What is the best way to enjoy this festival?
There are so many different events that you can pick and choose, and they're free, and the public's invited to attend. Tonight, for instance, is round two of the solo piano competition for the Institute students. So that should be a really exciting time of hearing these younger pianists perform the solo repertoire, and then the announcement of the winners will follow that. The master classes happening throughout the rest of the week are going to be really interesting. All of the events are accessible to the public, and the only two ticketed events are the two guest artist recitals on Friday night and Saturday night.
What are your thoughts, Kara, about the future growth of Masno?
Well, Masno is growing and changing a lot. I would like to see the organization have more events locally throughout the year featuring some of our former winners and also bringing in other artists. This really goes along with our mission of creating opportunities for people in New Orleans and their surrounding area to hear not only established artists but also these emerging artists. And it also gives the emerging artists opportunities to perform and to make connections and network and launch their careers in many ways.
Kara McCool, Executive Director of the Musical Arts Society of New Orleans. Thanks.
Thank you for having me. It was great to be here.
Masno's New Orleans Piano Institute and Keyboard Festival runs through Sunday at Loyola University with concerts in Roussel Hall. You can find more information online at masno.org. That's masno.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.